Have you heard of transformative technology? No? Well, I'll give you a clue. It's got nothing to do with cars that transform into robots. Bad dad joke. Transformative technology refers to software or hardware-based tech designed to accommodate humans' psychological health, intellectual function, and physical abilities. In other words, it's about helping us as humans improve our inner selves and experiences. And if you wear a device on your wrist that tells you how many steps you do or how well you are sleeping, then or your heart monitor, you probably have an idea of what we're talking about here. In this episode, we have Troy Haynes from I'm Connected talking about how he uses and applies transformative technology with business founders and their teams to assess and enhance their emotional and mental welfare, as well as operational effectiveness. So if you're ready to delve into the science side of stuff, put your discovery glasses on and let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a bubbly, driven, chocolate-obsessed, positive thinker and action taker who helps business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure to step up and show up in the scary online world. Because I know you have a message that needs to be heard, and I know you want to make a big impact on the world. By becoming more visible in the online space, you can attract and retain your ideal customers. I can help you do this by putting together effective and engaging marketing strategies and copywriting at right time marketing. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Troy Haynes. Welcome, Troy.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, thanks for being here. So just to give you all a little rundown of everything about Troy before we delve in. So over the past 8 years, he has owned and operated a startup incubator in Cairns in Queensland, where he's worked with founders and innovators to commercialize ideas and support the development of the startup ecosystem. And in the past 2 years, Troy's focus has narrowed to supporting founders building transformative technologies, a movement headed up out of Silicon Valley, which is super cool. So as the chair of for TT Australia, Troy and his team are building up out the supporting the development of the ecosystem in Australia, where they support founders to build technologies focused on mental health, well-being, and performance, to exploring our ultimate potential, So through his own company, I'm Connected, Troy works with founders and their teams applying some of these technologies to objectively measure and optimize key well-being and performance metrics. And that all sounds so super cool because I love, as everyone knows, I'm very much in the health and wellness space, but I'm also fascinated by technologies and I don't watch the news in general, but if there's something about like a technological advancement or something, I'm like, oh, I'm futuristic is one of my things. So I'm like, oh, what's out there? So could you please share a little bit more, delve into that a bit more and share more about your business journey?
Yeah, sure. So like you mentioned, I had an incubator. I actually closed it down last year so that I could focus more on transformative tech. But it was, when I say closed it down, the co-working side of things. Had that for 9 years up in Cairns, far north Queensland. Plus I moved, I'm now down in the Gold Coast region. And prior to starting that, it was meditation essentially that got me really invested into starting an incubator. It was from, I'm a long-term meditator, been meditating for about 20 years. And one of the benefits of meditation is as you sit in the stillness, you get all these inspired ideas, you get insights. And it was like one thing to actually have the idea, but then how do you effectively commercialize it? And so then I had previously had an online travel business that I built, managed, and I'd sold that took a year off and I was working on another concept, but it wasn't working. I was like, why isn't this working? And so I'm looking around the world, around where ideas were flourishing. You look to places like Silicon Valley, and what is it about Silicon Valley that helps ideas to flourish? And so they've got an ecosystem there, you know, like there's other entrepreneurs, there's investors, there's mentors, there's key service providers that all get it. And that wasn't around me in Cairns. So then that's when I started the incubator to help myself, but not just myself, to the broader community to commercialize ideas, because essentially it takes a village to raise a startup is one of the things that I've learned. And so over subsequent years, almost the last decade of being working in that space, building out the ecosystem. And like you said, in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, I was introduced to transformative technologies, that movement. And for me, that was the coming together of my two worlds, that meditation space and the business startup space. Because essentially within transformative technologies, we support entrepreneurs and innovators to build those technologies that you mentioned. And it is across that spectrum that you mentioned, from mental health. That's where, like, there's a lot of people in a mental health crisis at the moment, into well-being. You know, imagine if we're all just happy, like that would be awesome. But then into human performance and then realizing our ultimate potential. So it's taking technology, which can cop a bad rap at times, because sometimes technology doesn't necessarily support us. But a lot of our technologies, they've gone exponential in terms of the rate that they're actually changing and growing. But our humanness is still on this linear curve. And so within transformative technologies, we're taking that technology and applying it to our humanness to help us to evolve so that we're not just being outstripped and overwhelmed. And, you know, how does our technology actually support us to grow and evolve? And that's what the movement is about.
So cool. So there are like various different apps within the movement. Like, what does it actually look like?
Yeah, so it's a global movement. So just bring it to a higher level. Our mission is to support entrepreneurs and innovators to build technologies, and across a whole range of different exponential technologies like artificial intelligence, like AR, VR, XR, like biotech, wearables, nanotech, a whole range of different technologies, and apply that to that spectrum we mentioned, mental health right through to potential. But our overarching vision is to help elevate human consciousness. Like I said before, it's like our technologies it's accelerating the rate at which it's changing and growing, but our ability to be able to adapt and thrive in a world that is changing so quickly we're still on this linear curve. And so yeah, it's really about applying those technologies, and it is like apps, like that you said. There's a whole range of different ways that we can support our entrepreneurs to apply these technologies to problems, you know, like I said before, COVID, we're in a mental health crisis. A lot of people are in a mental health crisis, and that was prior to COVID, and post-COVID, it's kind of really accentuated the need for this as a movement. Like, let's not just create another pizza delivery app. Let's build something that really helps humanity to be happy, right? Like, you ask someone what they want, and they, essentially they just want to be happy and healthy. And
yeah. Well, like, you know, I'm a big user. I use the Insight Timer app for meditation. Actually got my seven-year-old onto it. And it could easily be the last year, maybe even longer, she listens to a meditation before going to sleep at night. And she's very much like me as a kid. So I can see myself in her, a bit of an overthinker, you know, can be a bit of a, can worry and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, what would my past self needed? Yes, probably something like this. And she started listening to, it was cute, like children's ones. She found her favorite, what do you call it? Meditator, I don't know, voice, whoever was the voiceover, someone named Corey. Listened to a lot of the kids' ones, which were silly little things with cats. I don't know. But maybe the last 6 months or so, she's actually been listening to, I think it's been an adult one, which purely does the whole relaxing every single part of the body and putting positive thoughts into her head as she goes to sleep. And so that's part of her routine now, which I love. And now I just have to get her to, I guess, pull the meditation part into her day when her little sister's annoying her and the fighting's going on and she can't quite get over that. So, yeah, it's the type of thing, yes, so that the meditation apps or what else could it look like in terms of technologies? Like a food thing, yeah, so like finding wearables, healthy food choices and...
I can't put my finger on, like, there's a whole range of different applications to the technology, and I can send through like a PDF that you might want to include as
part of this, in the show notes,
that'll have a whole range of different verticals and different types of technologies. But like, this is a simple example. This is a sleep tracker, and it's a ring that you wear 24/7. It tracks sleep, but it also tracks key biometrics that help to determine how well you recovered, which can help hold us accountable to the food that we eat. You know, like if you're having a late meal and it's a sugary meal, that can really affect our resting heart rate and our heart rate variability, and that will show up the next day as not being fully recovered, and we likely to have affected our sleep as well. And then the next day, you know, we're tired, we're drinking coffee, and then sluggish again. And so really it can help hold us accountable to some of the fundamentals, which is just like maintaining a good diet. And then, you know, exercise, there's plenty of exercise apps. Another one that I use with my clients is this is a neurofeedback device. So Insight Time is an application where you can, you know, access a whole range of different meditation teachers. This is a neurofeedback device, so it tracks your brainwave state. So
for those listening, it looks like a headband, like a sweatband type thing that you have while running that goes around your head.
Yeah. It sure does, but it's actually got this little tech piece in the front. It sits in there. You can actually wear this and track sleep as well. But we use it to help support people to learn meditation, to help hold them accountable, to make sure that they're doing it, because we can see their data, but then also show them, like, the device itself offers neurofeedback, so it will show you when you're in a relaxed state and what that feels like internally, and it'll show you when you're in a really busy, noisy state and what that feels like internally. So it enables you to, like, in training, to go, oh, I need to hold my attention like this because I'm getting rewarded, a bit like Pavlov's dog. So it's that sort of using the feedback, neurofeedback, to entrain like a positive behavior.
You don't get like electric shots or something if you're stressed out going, no, calm down, meditation time.
Try to avoid the electric shocking thing.
Good, yeah. But
another example is like this kids trading game where the kid, like, it's actually connected to a heart rate monitor where it tracks heart rate, like your resting heart rate. And it's, so if you play a card, the more relaxed you are, the stronger your spell is, because it's connected to an app as well. And it's got a heart rate monitor. And so the more relaxed you are, the stronger your spell is, so you actually win. So you're learning by default, like, so you mentioned with your daughter, and when a sister triggers her, well, then these kids are learning, oh, this is how I relax myself because I want to build. So it's like a positive association. There's lots of VR applications as well, meditation applications within VR, experiential. Like, VR is so immersive. And there's like little bots where you can, they'll learn you, like through an application where they'll learn where learn to support you, answer questions, like almost like become your friend. So like your personal pal. There's, yeah. The
questions like, how are you feeling, like, right now? Like, to make you pause in your day and reassess how you're going?
Yep. And it learns to interact with you as well. That's one example. The thing is, like, the entrepreneurs and innovators are the leverage point. They are the ones that, you know, essentially we can support to create the technologies, which will then, you know, support so many other people as well. So
yeah, because I mean, a lot of people have Fitbits these days. That's probably one of the key things everyone's aware of. And it's, you know, they're always like, oh. I mean, my parents have theirs, and they're always competing with each other how many steps they've done. And ironically, they do everything together. But someone's just like, how come you've got more steps? Oh, because while you were waiting for X, Y, Z, I was off going backs and forwards. And so, or sleep. And people are like, oh, well, apparently I had a restless sleep last night, according to my Fitbit. But I guess, I mean, unless you're in a competition with someone, if it's about your sleep, I don't think a lot of people take enough action, because I know I'm guilty of this. I wake up tired going, oh, I'll have to have an early night tonight. But then when the time rolls around, I'm like, oh, but I only just got the kids to bed, and I really just want to chill and watch TV for a bit before I go to bed. And so then the cycle kind of continues. So do you have any tips for that with, I guess, this type of technology? How to get, I don't know, create better habits? Like, how does it help you improve your habits? It is a positive reinforcement, you're saying. Yeah,
it's a good question. Really, what they're giving us is feedback, like objective feedback. So biofeedback, neurofeedback. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that, and I say this to my clients, we need to still look upstream from that. It doesn't take away the fact that there are some core pillars that you need to pay attention to. And if you're not paying attention to those in life, well, then you're going to have this dysfunction show up downstream. And that's stuff like effective sleep. It's having a good diet, doing exercise, having some sort of like mindfulness practice so that you're able to regulate your state, avoiding vices like junk food and alcohol as much as possible. And in doing so, like, that helps to, like, the neurofeedback essentially just helps to point out what you probably already know. But what I see a lot of is it's one thing to actually look at the data, and people tend to ignore the data. And that's where, like, through I Am Connected, we're creating a community of people. So we're going deep on really understanding what that data actually means. And then individually, how do you optimize that? What's actually coming up for you? How do you understand it? And then what is the behavioral change that you need to look at? And key part of it is making people aware, you know, like if you're not getting effective sleep, there's a mounting amount of science that is indicating that, you know, you're shortening your life if you're getting not enough sleep ongoing. And not only that, you're predisposing yourself to early onset of degenerative diseases such as cancer and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all these sorts of things if you're not getting effective rest. So what are the things upstream from that that you're doing that is causing that? And then how do we fix that? Because, you know, this is basically giving you the objective data. You've got your subjective experience. Hey, I feel tired. I've got to get to bed early tonight. But then, you know what, my God, I'm going to have a wine because I earn it. And it's like, well, so it's breaking these patterns. And that's hard to do in isolation, even with the data sometimes. So that's why within a community, it can be really, like, really help to ingrain new positive habits.
Yeah. So tell me more about I Am Connected. Is that creates that community environment? Because I know you're the meditation and consciousness coach there. Just talk a little bit about I Am Connected, how that all fits in.
Yeah, so like I mentioned at the beginning, like I'm an ideas person as well, and I'm also really committed and passionate about meditation and wellness. So through transformative technologies, that's about supporting the broader the vision of helping the collective consciousness to elevate, and, you know, helping humanity to flourish, and not just like. About we should be happy, like, by default, like our technologies that we're building should help us to do that. So let's fix that. And so my part going deeper into that is a startup that we've created called I Am Connected, where we're working with key technologies across the sleep. I'm looking at the key leverage points here as well, like sleep, helping people to make sleep effective, and then regulating our waking state. And capturing that sort of data, like sleep data, which also encapsulates key bio data, so biofeedback data, and then teaching people how to meditate and change their states. And that's sort of like level one for us. And then, so again, we look upstream, like what are the habits that we have? What are the behaviors that we have? Do we, are we exercising? What's our diet like? And then within a community environment, what we do is we invite experts. So we want to go deep on really understanding the data. So we invite world-class experts in to understand the data and help us to optimize ourselves. And then we have like mastermind groups. We put mastermind groups and support each other to integrate that and discussion points and so forth. So it's using the technology, and we've created a platform which combines all the streams, all the data into a single point. So you've got a dashboard which is used, so you can see your sleep data, you can see your meditation data. And then also putting your subjective inputs, like how you're subjectively feeling, and then how does that match up against your objective data.
So it's really a matter of filling out, is it a matter of filling out surveys, or do you like people use certain technologies to, like, how do you get that data from people ultimately?
Yeah, so the objective data is like from the ring and from the meditation device. That's just that's streamed in. So yep. we've connected that up. So that's okay, yep. Instantaneously. Mm-hmm. The subjective data they put in through a web application that we've created for the phone.
Okay.
And yes. So they every day. Part of that is like one of the key things that we're focusing on is beyond mental health is like well-being and performance. It's optimizing those things upstream and the people that we tend to work with are more, I guess, entrepreneurial type people, people that are looking for the edge day to day. They're the ones that seem to be more ready for this sort of level of output, of consistency, of like getting the best self, the best version of themselves to show up day in and day out. And there's a real cost of not doing that, right? If you're like, if you're in business or you've got a high pressure job or a high profile job, and you can't afford to just be sitting in front of your computer like dozing off, you need to be on. And so it's bringing together existing technologies into a platform wrapped in a community.
Yeah, and bringing in expert. I love it. So good. And so, okay, so we did talk about this in the little teaser I do on Facebook before we jump in about how important meditation is. Like as a starting point, it often doesn't solve all problems, but it's a really good essential tactic that we should incorporate into everyday life. So I want to just ask you, when did you discover meditation? Where were you at before, and how did it change you? And then we'll go further into like tips for everyone.
Yeah, for me, I was a skinny pigeon-chested kid that grew up in a country town in the middle of nowhere that was overwhelmed by the world. I found out later on that I was a highly sensitive person. I'm a highly sensitive person. And that sensitivity can be crushing, right? Like so much doesn't make sense. And I hadn't learned how to manage my sensitivity. And so I suffered a lot growing up, not because I had a bad life, but just there was an innate sense of suffering. And so I looked at many different things from a pretty young age to try to move beyond that suffering. And reading books, going to workshops, a lot of things were pointing towards meditation as a tool that could help. And like anyone, I sucked, I was really bad at it, but I started doing it and sporadically at first. But I felt it helped, like the sense of overwhelm, all that mental noise that was filling my head, all the anxiety, the sense of just like being so full that I was ready to burst. But then when I'd meditate, and pretty badly initially, I felt better. A lot of the noise that was there, it didn't even matter. And I was like, and so as it's progressed, it's a daily practice of separating myself, like the real authentic sense of self of who I am, the person that's got a purpose that's been put on this planet, out of the conditioned sense of who everybody else told me that I was, the world projects on you, out of that mental noise. And when you sit in that stillness, it's like being in the stillness outside of the ongoing thoughts and the feelings, and you're sitting in that stillness, you can hear your inspired thoughts, you can hear your intuition, the sense of knowing of who you are and what you need to do in this world. And so it's about connecting to that daily. And so I feel like that's why I feel like everybody needs to have some sort of a meditation practice, because otherwise you're living in this conditioned reality, in this conditioned world. It's, and like the analogy of being freed from the matrix is not too far from the truth, because it is like you're living in this conditioned thought stream and feelings. But when you meditate, you, and for me, meditation is taking control of your attention. And when you learn to take control of your attention, then, you know, that's your power. And, you know, like businesses, like governments, everyone's competing for your attention. And they use very sophisticated means to actually get your attention. But now more than ever, we need to take back control of our attention. And that's what meditation is. Yeah.
I love it. It's so true, because you've just been talking about the, you know, the transformative technologies that enhance our health. But obviously there's the ones, which is a lot of everything else, like social media and scrolling through, that doesn't help. And that just adds the noise to your, what goes through your mind, because like you scroll through and you see what someone's doing, you're processing a bit of that and you're thinking about what that means, what associations with that person or what they've just shown, and then they scroll to the next person and then it just builds up. And then suddenly you're like, I've just got so much noise in my head. And if you've just woken up and that's the first thing you've done, I now, for the last couple of months, I've been connecting my phone across the room because I do use it for my alarm, so I don't look at it as I go to sleep. But I'm still a bit guilty. When I wake up, I pick up the phone and I do kind of start scrolling. No, what am I doing? Go meditate instead. So a lot of the listeners would be familiar with meditation, but can you just explain the basics? Like, it's not all sitting cross-legged going, is it? You can have guided meditations, different types. Let's just talk through what meditation is.
Yeah, it's so multifaceted. And, you know, like the technology aside, it's it really can be quite simple. And you don't need to sit cross-legged. You can sit just comfortably in a chair. It's good to have your spine straight. And essentially, you know, I like to say a little intention and get grateful before I actually go into the practice. And then really it's just using something as an anchor point. This is, like I said, it's multifaceted. There's so many different varieties. And I teach a Zen meditation practice. And one of the essences of that Zen meditation practice is right breathing. Like just focusing on your breath. The breath is connected to the central nervous system. And the central nervous system, you know, is the fight, flight system. And so using our breath, we can shift our state. And if you see it when you're feeling like you pick up your phone first thing in the morning and you're seeing someone didn't like posts or someone said something or whatever it is, that it could trigger a pattern, an emotion inside you, and trigger our breath to be quite short and sharp, which is that sympathetic response, which, you know, is the fight flight response. It's like, it's not like we're being chased by a tiger, but essentially we feel a threat internally, emotionally. And so then that puts us into this sympathetic state. And so with the breath and taking control of it and breathing down deep and just slow and regulated and just focusing, holding our attention on that breath. And as your mind wanders, just bring it back to that breath. And as it wanders, just gently bring it back to the breath. The breath is doing the work on your biology. And then with your attention, it's just gently bringing it back, being gentle on yourself. And, you know, that's a beautiful meditation that you can do a number of times throughout the day. And the thing is, I teach a lot about the different states as well, the different brainwave states. This takes you from a very busy brainwave, which is a beta brainwave state, which is what we find ourselves in most of the time throughout the day. And it drops us into this alpha state, which is where flow happens and creativity happens. And so if you're, you know, stuck at work and you know what it's like when your attention's being pulled all over the place and your emotions are all over the place and you then try to sit down and work, it's just like, oh, I got nothing. I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed and anxious. But it's going through this practice, but then you can drop back into the flow and it's like, oh, I've got control of my attention. My biology is good. And now you can apply your attention again.
Yeah, I love
that. I kind of look at it like there's so many things. Our attention is our power, and there's so many things competing for our attention and it's pulling it in many different directions, and we allow ourselves to be distracted and interrupted. But what meditation is just gently bringing back each one of those distractions, interrupt those threads, bringing back our power into ourselves, bringing back our attention. And then when you've got it, you can feel it and then you can apply it. And that's really powerful.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long do you meditate for, and how long do you recommend beginners meditate for?
For me, I'm an hour a day in one sitting at the moment, but that's not what I'd recommend for a beginner. I recommend it's about the consistency. I recommend doing, you know, if you can do 10 minutes every day and then just slowly work on building that up. If you can do 10 minutes three times a week, that's awesome. I started out, you know, something like that, but then I started to feel the benefit of it, and then it becomes addictive, because that feeling of being stressed and overwhelmed, and then the feeling of being in your own power, it's like, I want to be in my own power. All right, I need to sit to do that. All right, I'll do that. And so, yeah, it's about consistency. Just do whatever you can initially, and then just try to build it up, build the muscle.
Yeah, I guess, and also recognize when you need to do it as well. So you might say, I do it first thing in the morning, but if you do feel overwhelmed just before your lunch break, like, oh, I need this lunch break, or you get to the evening, like, I need this wine, maybe that's, you should start to, I guess, get to know your body and go, actually, this is probably when I need to meditate. And 5-10 minutes, like 10 minutes isn't very long. Like, you can easily get sucked into a world of scrolling or emails in 10 minutes and that will just go. So it's not a long time, but it would obviously have a great impact.
Totally. And the thing is, that's a really good point that you just made, is that just having that little intervention, because what happens is we're operating on our existing programming, and that existing program, oh, I have a drink of wine at this time, I feel like I deserve it, whatever it is, we've got these existing programs looping us, and they're controlling our behavior, essentially. They're controlling us. We're a slave, essentially, to our internal programs. When you sit and meditate, you take control of your attention, and you then have the space to go, oh, no, this is actually what's meaningful. This is what I want to be doing. And so it gives you a choice. It gives back your power. Yeah.
Can you also, I've heard of things people say, oh, I'll meditate on that. Is that basically you quiet your mind, you deep breathing, and then you just ask a question and then kind of tune into your intuition? Is that kind of what that means?
Yeah, it is. In a nutshell, I guess that's pretty close. Look, for me, my intention when I meditate is most of the time is to separate from that mind-made self. So it's like we're the participant in a lot of the time. We're in the story. We're in the programming. We're being, you know, we're just living out the programming that we have. But when you can meditate and you can step outside of that and you become the observer, so you're outside of the thinking and feeling, you've taken control of your attention. And then it's like a stillness. It's a stillness. And in that stillness, and when we look at the different brainwave states, we can see how we're in a theta and delta brain frequency. And on the other side of delta is like a really low frequency. On the other side of delta is death. So we have a greater sense of connection to the intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that put us here, like that has inspired us to be here. So you get insights. It's almost like the life force. If you look around outside in nature, there's a window there, I'm looking outside. If you look around outside at nature, there's a life force that's flowing through it, and there's the same life force flowing through us as well that's guiding us, but we can't hear it when we've got all this noise in our heads. So you can get the insights that you need to solve problems. It's amazing for solving problems.
And I think as well, it's
meditate on it.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, with the unhealthy eating habits and things like that, especially if it's emotional eating, quite often that's because of all the stuff going through your head. So if you quieten your mind, so like for me, for example, when I'm feeling tired or stressed, I go, I want something sweet and sugary or whatever, which I'm trying to get over. But if I was to maybe meditate instead, then ultimately that would also help my physical health, like my gut health, because I'm not feeding it unhealthy stuff. So I guess, and same with sleep. If you can't go to sleep because your mind is super active, so much going on, you can meditate before going to sleep. And that just then makes your sleep probably so much smoother and longer and deeper. Because, yeah, so it kind of all comes back to meditation. It kind of, it is a starting point.
It's a magic bullet. It really is. Because, like, what you were talking about there, like with the eating, it's not often the body that craves it. It's an emotional, like, it's a pattern that's running. It's an emotional response. It's kind of like our beliefs filter our reality, what we can see and what we can't see. And then from there, we have a thought, and the thoughts trigger feelings, and the feelings trigger our action, like fuel our actions. And then that becomes this pattern for thoughts, feelings, actions, thoughts, feeling, actions. And so what meditation is, it's an intervention in there. You know, we're taking control of our attention. So we're breaking that, we're taking control, so that breaking that pattern between the thought and the feeling. So you're intervening in there. And there's meditations that I teach as well, which is about releasing emotion, which is really, really powerful, because a lot of, as a guy, we're not taught how, that we're taught that, you're going to be, maybe a sook, you got to harden up. But really, emotions are energy, emotion. And if we just acknowledge them and just allow them to flow into us, they flow through us really quite quickly. It's just that we unconsciously resist them, and so they build up. And so then you've got these thoughts, feelings, actions, and you've got this pattern that sits below the surface. So, like, a huge part of what meditation can teach you is to learn how to know yourself, like know what your triggers are and know what your patterns are. And so then you can intervene and then take back your power and have a choice. Like, do I really want to eat this? Is this going to give me the body that I'm aspiring to? Or is it going to keep me in the same, like, why do I have the same body? And I get genes, we all have our own, like, we're predisposed with genes, but there's a thing called gene potential, like genes aren't a victim to our genes. Like, lifestyle factors definitely impact on how our genes activate and don't activate. So there's gene potential. So if your mum is like this way, it doesn't mean to say you're going to be like this way, even if, you're from the same gene pool.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did want to ask you, because with meditation as well, with controlling your thoughts, just to give you my example, my brain, I'm often constantly thinking about things I've got to do, things that have happened. Does meditation help you stay 100% in the present Yes. And then you are just like when you're doing a meditation, you're very good at going, nope, send that thought away. For you, and you do this hourly every day, do you find a lot easier to stay in the present moment and get rid of distractions?
Yeah. So for me, like, I'll do my morning practice. I'll get up, I'll have lemon water, I'll stretch for about 10, 15 minutes, and then I'll do my seated practice for an hour. And then I'll connect into that stillness, like life force flows through me. I feel this sense of bliss. It's amazing. And then, you know what? I've got to get on the computer. And so I've learned other additional tools and tips, like it's one thing to be able to access that state, but then we can create our external environment to stay in that state as long as possible. And so one of the things I learned is, like, internal distractions and external interruptions. So if you've got, like, Facebook open, your emails open, your phone beside you, like, your attention is gone. And it's like the death by 1,000 cuts. So your attention can go once and it's, that's okay. Twice. But before you know it, you reach this tipping point and then you're stressed and overwhelmed. And I still, like, so part of my practice extends out into my external world. So it's mitigating against distraction. So making sure that, pop-ups are all off. My phone's always on silent, often on airplane mode. Then teaching people how to communicate with you as well. Hey, don't interrupt me between this time and this time, because I'm focusing and I'm applying that attention that I have cultivated. And so it's teaching the external world how to communicate with you. So we're protecting it. And so for me, I block out my calendar until lunchtime every day, because I'm in that flow. So no one can book into my calendar before 12. In addition to that, The last thing I do for the day is write my to-do list the night before for the next day. And so then my unconscious is, working on it overnight. It knows what it needs to do. And it doesn't mean to say that I always nail that in a beautiful flow day on, day in, day out. But often I get most of it done. And the first thing in the morning, I don't have to wake up and go, all right, what am I doing again today? So I'm again, maximizing that flow potential. But then inevitably, guess what happens? I've only got so much willpower. I'm not like a superhuman. And then my attention ends up fractionated. But I've got this beautiful tool called meditation. So in the afternoon, I can actually do a, and usually it's just like a 5-10 minute sit then. And again, it's just pulling back all those little bits of my attention. And then I'll generally get a little run again, like another couple of hours. But then, I'm done for the day. We've only got so much willpower and I'm exhausted that. And, that's a good day for me. Yeah. And then It's about honoring the body. I train in the afternoon, then I go to the gym in the afternoon. So then that's an intervention in itself, right? It's like focused attention, getting the good hormones pumping throughout the body.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, sorry, go on.
I was going to say your practice can extend beyond just sitting on the mat or sitting in the chair for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I used to do, back when I was working at a university, there was a lunchtime once a week meditation session, which is where I did kind of explore. That's probably when I really started doing meditation. And there's even like walking meditation. So even if you do get restless sitting still for, 10 minutes or anything more than 5 minutes, you can actually get out of nature and go for a walk and just be purely present. And that's also a form of meditation if that works better for you.
Totally. Well, looking at the brainwave states again, alpha and theta are the flow and problem solving state and really the intuitive sort of state. The frequency there that sits between there is 7 and 8 hertz. The Schumann frequency, the frequency of the earth, I think is 7.52. So it actually sits in the middle of alpha and theta.
Okay.
So that's why spending time in nature is such a popular recreational activity. It's like, because when I was learning around the different brainwave states, I thought it'd be so cool if there was this thing that you'd go to and it would just draw you in to theta. I'm going to build that. And it turns out there is, and it's the earth. It's the Schumann frequency. So spending time in nature is like, that's why it's such a popular recreational activity, is because I think there's actually a new term that's been coined recently, maybe as part of COVID. It's called nature bathing.
Yes, actually, we had an episode about bush bathing earlier in the podcast with Brenda Rogers. Yeah, so to go back and tune into that. I have yet to go to one of her sessions, but so that's very, very cool. So thanks for all that. That's a really great insight about how, technology can work and meditation can work really well. And look, I ask all my guests this, and you've kind of covered a lot of it, but it's how do you take care of your health and wellness? So apart from meditation and, getting out of nature and going to the gym or exercising, what else do you do?
Yeah, so I track my key biometrics, and I'm always looking to, look at what they're actually telling me. It's not about trying to hack the metric to change it. It's like, what upstream do I need to change so that I can get the data that I want it to say what it needs? So that living a life of purpose as well, I think, is the key one, right? It's like we're all here for a divine reason. And, it's hard to know what that is if you're living in the mental noise. And so, like, for me, meditation as a practice, like, doesn't mean to say every day is, rosy and what it's like as a business owner. It's like you're challenged. It's a really challenging endeavor. But, like, for me, that's the real magic, is to wake up each day and do what I was born to do. And I feel like I do that. And that's the one thing.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I agree with that. And I think when you do or you're not sure of your purpose or something questions it or something, that's when you feel the most lost and overwhelmed. But if when you're focused and you know what you're meant to be doing, then you feel a lot more satisfied and happy and everything, which is the ultimate goal, right?
I still doubt myself day to day, different times, but then, I've got this tool now to drop into a stillness and get guidance and, ask questions and, get back on the path.
Get back on track. And how can people connect with you?
So iamconnected.com is my website. I'm always happy to have a chat as well. We, with regards to transformative technology, we run a meetup once a month. So I'll, hopefully in the show notes, I'll send you through that that overview and include a link to Transformative Technologies and reach out there. We're building out the ecosystem. Like if you're an entrepreneur or innovator, or you're just passionate about this space and wanting to get to know and understand technologies, then reach out to me. I love technology. It's not the enemy. You know, like technology takes what's scarce and makes it abundant, makes it affordable, you know, and makes it accessible to people where to have something where they previously couldn't have it. So technology is not the enemy. It's how we apply it. So, you know, join with us in building a movement where we can create technologies that really help us to evolve into a world and a society that we're truly proud of.
It's awesome. And so can you also give me a link of where people can access all like the technologies that you talked about earlier? That'd be amazing. There's links to where people can purchase or find them. That'd be awesome as well. Thank you, Troy. This is a fantastic chat. I really enjoyed it. I'm fascinated by this stuff. Health and wellness and technology comes together and I'm like, oh, it's very, very cool. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find the show notes of the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. Or you can book in a free 15-minute chat because I'd absolutely love to chat with you about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.